morning. Alright, everybody, I'm going to begin reading now. I hope you guys have a great night while listening to me. Let's begin. Okay, so where did we pick off last night? And I'm sorry if my birds are annoying. Can't really do anything to control their sudden emotions. I have to go ahead and find the chapter that I left off at last night. Growing up a shamanx, I think that's how you pronounce that word, I don't know, but that's the name of this chapter. Yes, an illustrious career. I should hasten to admit, however, that there was a considerable hiatus between the first stolen book and the second. Another noteworthy point is that the first was stolen from snow and the second from fire, not to omit that others were also given to her. All told, she owned 14 books, but she saw her story as being made up predominantly of 10 of them. Of those 10, 6 were stolen, 1 showed up at the kitchen table, 2 were made for her by a hidden Jew, and 1 was delivered by a soft, yellow-dressed afternoon. When she came to write her story, she would wonder exactly when the books and the words started to mean not just something, but everything. Was it when she first set eyes on the room with shelves and shelves of them? Or when Max Vandenberg arrived on Himmel Street, carrying handfuls of suffering and Hitler's Mein Kampf? Was it reading in the shelters? The last parade to Dachau? Was it the word shaker? Perhaps there would never be a precise answer as to when and where it occurred. In any case, that's getting ahead of myself. Before we make it to any of that, we first need to tour Liesel Memminger's beginnings on Himmel Street and the art of shamanching. Upon her arrival, you could still see the bite marks of snow on her hands and the frosty blood on her fingers. Everything about her was undernourished. Wire-like shins, coat hanger arms. She did not produce it easily, but when it came, she had a starving smile. Her hair was a close enough brand of a German blonde, but she had dangerous eyes, dark brown. You didn't really want dark brown eyes in Germany around that time. Perhaps she received them from her father, but she had no way of knowing, as she couldn't remember him. There was really only one thing she knew about her father. It was a label she did not understand. A strange word, communist. She'd heard it several times in the past few years, communist. There were boarding houses crammed with people, rooms filled with questions, and that word, that strange word, was always there, somewhere, standing in the corner, watching from the dark. It wore suits, uniforms, no matter where they went. There it was, each time her father was mentioned. She could smell and taste it. She just couldn't spell or understand it. When she asked her mother what it meant, she was told that it wasn't important, that she shouldn't worry about such things. At one boarding house, there was a healthy woman who tried to teach the children to write, using charcoal on the wall. Liesel was tempted to ask her the meaning, but it never eventuated. One day, that woman was taken away for questioning. She didn't come back. When Liesel arrived in Mulking, she had at least some inkling that she was being saved, but that was not a comfort. If her mother loved her, why leave her on someone else's doorstep? Why? The fact that she knew the answer, if only at the most basic level, seemed beside the point. Her mother was constantly sick, and there was never any money to fix her. Liesel knew that, but that didn't mean she had to accept it. No matter how many times she was told that she was loved, there was no recognition that the proof was in the abandonment. Nothing changed the fact that she was a lost skinny child in another foreign place, with more foreign people, alone. The Hubermans lived in one of the small box-like houses on Himmel Street. A few rooms, a kitchen, and a shared outhouse with neighbors. The roof was flat, and there was a shallow basement for storage. It was supposedly not a basement of adequate depth. In 1939, this wasn't a problem. Later in 1942... Later in 1942 and 43, it was... When air raids started, they always needed to rush down the street to a better shelter. In the beginning, it was the profanity that made an immediate impact. It was so vehement and prolific. Every second word was either Shamench, Saukril, or Arslak. For people who aren't familiar with these words, I should explain. Sau, of course, refers to pigs. In the case of Saumench, it serves to castigate, berate, or plain humiliate a female. Saukril, pronounced Saukril, is for a male. Arslak can simply be translated directly into asshole. That word, however, does not differentiate between the sexes. It simply is. Shaumensch du Drekis, Liesel's foster mother shouted that first evening when she refused to have a bath. You filthy pig, why won't you get undressed? She was good at being furious. In fact, you could say that Rosa Huberman had a face decorated with constant fury. That was how the creases were made in the cardboard texture of her complexion. Liesel naturally was bathed in anxiety. There was no way she was getting into any bath. Or into bed, for that matter. She was twisted into one corner of the closet-like washroom, clutching for the non-existent arms of the wall for some level of support. There was nothing but dry paint. Difficult breath and the deluge of abuse from Rosa. Sorry, need a quick breather. Leave her alone, Hans Huberman entered the fray. His gentle voice made its way in, as if slipping through a crowd. Leave her to me. He moved closer and sat on the floor against the wall. The tiles were cold and unkind. You know how to roll a cigarette? He asked her. And for the next hour or so, they sat in the rising pool of darkness, playing with the tobacco and the cigarette papers, and Hans Huberman smoking them. When the hour was up, Liesel could roll a cigarette moderately well. She still didn't have a bath. Some facts about Hans Huberman. He loved to smoke. The main thing he enjoyed about smoking was the rolling. He was a painter by trade and played the piano accordion. This came in handy, especially in winter, when he could make a little money playing in the pubs of Mulking, like the Knoller. He had already cheated me in one world, war, but would later be put into another, as a perverse kind of reward, where he would somehow manage to avoid me again. To most people, Hans Huberman was barely visible, an unspecial person. Certainly, his painting skills were excellent. His musical ability was better than average. Somehow, though, and I'm sure you've met people like this, he was able to appear as merely part of the background, even if he was standing at the front of a line. He was always just there. Not noticeable, not important or particularly valuable. The frustration of that appearance, as you can imagine, was its complete misleadance, let's say. There most definitely was value in him, and it did not go unnoticed by Liesel Memminger, the human child, so much cannier at times than the stupefyingly ponderous adult. She saw it immediately. His manner. The quiet air around him. When he turned the light on in the small, callous washroom that night, Liesel observed the strangeness of her foster father's eyes. They were made of kindness and silver, like soft silver, melting. Liesel, upon seeing those eyes, understood that Hans Huberman was worth a lot. Some facts about Rosa Huberman. She was 5 foot, 1 inch tall, and wore her gray strands of elastic hair in a bun. To supplement the Huberman income, she did the washing and ironing for 5 of the wealthier households in Mulking. Her cooking was atrocious. She possessed the unique ability to aggravate almost anyone she ever met, but she did love Liesel Memminger. Her way of showing it just happened to be strange. It involved bashing her with a wooden spoon and words at various intervals. When Liesl finally had a bath, after 2 weeks of living on Himmel Street, Rosa gave her an enormous, injury-inducing hug. Nearly choking her, she said, "Schaumens du Drickis, it's about time." After a few months, they were no longer Mr. and Mrs. Huberman. With a typical fistful of words, Rosa said, "Now then, Liesl, from now on you call me Mama." She thought a moment. "What did you call your real mother?" Liesl answered quietly, "Ausch, Mama. Also, Mama." "Well, I'm Mama number two, then." She looked over at her husband, and him over there. She seemed to collect the words in her hand, pat them together, and hurl them across the table. "That Saukrel, that filthy pig, you call him Papa. Versteht? Understand?" "Yes," Liesl promptly agreed. Quick answers were appreciated in the household. "Yes, Mama," Mama corrected her. "Schaumensch, call me Mama when you talk to me." At that moment, Hans Huberman had just completed rolling a cigarette, having licked the paper and joined it all up. He looked over at Liesl and winked. She would have no trouble calling him Papa. That marks the end of chapter 2. I'm going to move on to chapter 3. The Woman with the Iron Fist. Those first few months were definitely the hardest. Every night, Liesl would nightmare. Her mother's face, staring at the floor. She would wake up swimming in her bed, screaming and drowning in the flood of sheets. On the other side of the room, the bed that was meant for her brother floated boat-like in the darkness. Slowly, with the arrival of consciousness, it sank, seemingly into the floor. This vision didn't help matters, and it would usually be quite a while before the screaming stopped. Give me a second. Wow. Thank you all for being here. Possibly, the only good to come out of these nightmares was that it brought Hans Huberman, her new papa, into the room to soothe her, to bring love to her. He came in every night and sat with her. The first couple of times he simply stayed, a stranger to kill the aloneness. A few nights after that, he whispered, "Shh, I'm right here. I'm here. It's all right, Liesl." After 3 weeks, he held her. Trust was accumulated quickly, due primarily to the brute strength of the man's gentleness, his there-ness. The girl knew from the outset that Hans Huberman would always appear amidst scream, and he would not leave. A definition not found in the dictionary. Not leaving. An act of trust and love, often deciphered by children. Hans Huberman sat sleepy-eyed on the bed, and Liesl would cry into his sleeves and breathe him in. Every morning, just after 2 o'clock, she fell asleep again to the smell of him. It was a mixture of dead cigarettes, decades of paint, and human skin. At first, she sucked it all in, then breathed it until she drifted back down. Each morning, he was a few feet away from her, crumpled and almost halved in the chair. He never used the other bed. Liesl would climb out and cautiously kiss his cheek, and he would wake up and smile. Some days, Papa told her to get back into bed and wait a minute, and he would return with his accordion and play for her. Liesl would sit up and hum, her cold toes clenched with excitement. No one had ever given her music before. She would grin herself stupid, watching the lines drawing themselves down his face and the soft metal of his eyes, until the swearing arrived from the kitchen. "Stop that noise, Saukrel." Papa would play a little longer. He would wink at the girl, and clumsily she'd wink back. A few times, purely to incense Mama a little further, he also brought the instrument to the kitchen and played through breakfast. I'm sorry. Papa's bread and jam would be half eaten on his plate, curled into the shape of bite marks, and the music would look Liesl in the face. I know it sounds strange, but that's how it felt to her. Papa's right hand strolled the tooth-colored keys. His left hit the buttons. She especially loved to see him hit the silver, sparkled button, the C major. The accordion's scratched yet shiny black exterior came back and forth as his arms squeezed the dusty bellows, making it suck in the air and throw it back out. In the kitchen on those mornings, Papa made the accordion live. I guess it makes sense when you really think about it. How do you tell if something is alive? You check for breathing. The sound of the accordion was, in fact, also the announcement of safety. Daylight. During the day, it was impossible to dream of her brother. She would miss him and frequently cry in the tiny washroom as quietly as possible, but she was still glad to be awake. On her first night with the Hubermans, she had hidden her last link to him, the gravedigger's handbook, under her mattress, and occasionally she would pull it out and hold it. Staring at the letters on the cover and touching the print inside, she had no idea what any of it was saying. The point is, it didn't really matter what the book was about. It was what it meant that was more important. The book's meaning. 1. The last time she saw her brother. 2. The last time she saw her mother. Sometimes she would whisper the word Mama and see her mother's face 100 times in a single afternoon. But those were small miseries compared to the terror of her dreams. At those times, in the enormous mileage of sleep, she had never felt so completely alone. As I'm sure you've already noticed, there were no other children in the house. The Hubermans had 2 of their own, but they were older and had moved out. Hans Jr. worked in the center of Munich, and Trudy held a job as a housemaid and childminder. Soon, they would both be in the war. One would be making bullets, the other would be shooting them. School, as you might... School, as you might imagine. Ah! I closed the book on accident. Oopsies. School, as you might imagine, was a terrific failure. Although it was state-run, there was a heavy Catholic influence, and Liesl was Lutheran. Not the most auspicious start. Then they discovered she couldn't read nor write. Humiliatingly, she was cast down with the younger kids, who were only just learning the alphabet. Even though she was thin-boned and pale, she felt gigantic among the midget children. And she often wished she was pale enough to disappear altogether. Even at home, there wasn't much room for guidance. Don't ask him for help, Mama pointed out. That's Saukrill. Papa was staring out the window, as was often his habit. He left the school in the 4th grade. Without turning around, Papa answered calmly, but with venom. Well, don't ask her either. He dropped some ash outside. She left school in the 3rd grade. There were no books in the house, apart from the one she had secreted under her mattress, and the best Liesl could do was speak the alphabet under her breath before she was told in no uncertain terms to keep quiet. All that mumbling, it wasn't until later, when there was a bedwetting incident on Midnightmare, that an extra reading education began. Unofficially, it was called the Midnight Class, even though it usually commenced at around 2 in the morning. More of that soon. In mid-February, when she turned 10, Liesl was given a used doll that had a missing leg and yellow hair. It was the best we could do, Papa apologized. What are you talking about? She's lucky to have that much, Mama corrected him. Hans continued his examination of the remaining leg, while Liesl tried on her new uniform. 10 years old meant Hitler Youth. Hitler Youth meant a small brown uniform. Being female, Liesl was enrolled into what was called the BDM. Explanation of the abbreviation. It stood for Bund Deutscher Mädchen, Band of the German Girls. I'm going to take a quick break. Just need to drink some water and stuff. But I hope you guys are sleeping and stuff well and enjoying the read. But yeah, remember, if you guys think I'm cool or whatever, send me a friend request. I'm down to making new friends. I really do need new friends recently now, don't I? No, no, guys, I'm fine, I'm fine. Why did Penn get muted? I don't understand. I'm gonna unmute them. It's quite early. Thank you, sweetheart. Thank you for the sweet compliments, Ray. It means a lot to me. I wouldn't call myself particularly a good person, but thank you. I'm not tired. It's only 22:43. Thank you, Ray. Can I speak in a French accent? I do stories every night, yes, sweetheart. And you're free to invite as many as you want. Thank you, Void. Well, I would love to do a French... I can't. I can't do a French accent, I'm sorry. Where did you get that picture? Where did you get that picture, dude? Ryan, where did you get that picture? Dude, that was last year. That's my cousins. That's me with my cousins. Where did you get that picture? Ryan, I don't think I've posted that anywhere. Yeah, that's me with my cousins. I'm the guy in the back. Oh, I posted that picture back in August. I see, I see. My dad took that picture of us. Yeah, that's my cousins. And I was just chilling with them. But yeah. You guys want to hear what I sound like when I'm embarrassed? I can fake it. Oh, that's adorable. Welcome back, Pen. I don't know if you're in the VC, Pen. Can somebody ask Penn to join the VC? But, I don't know how to pronounce this person's name, but thank you, thank you. Thank you so much. I really hope your English does improve, thanks to me. You can get the Bedtime Stories role in the Roles channel, and you can, Hey, Ben, what are your philosophies in life? That's funny. That's funny. I thought I read that as, Ben, what are your pedophiles in life? Oh, did Penn join? All right, Pen, I just wanted to say I unmuted you. I don't know why you got muted. Where am I from, Ben? I am from Dallas, Texas. I'm a Texan, but I'm not white. I'm a Packy boy. As you can see, Ryan posted a picture of me up here. I'll copy the link and repost it. Although this is quite old, and these are my old glasses, and this is before. Oh, that scared me. That scared me so much. I accidentally clicked a link. Here we go, I'll post it again, but I don't have the scrubs pick right now, but I'll show you guys what I look like later on. Yeah, you can guys post the gif of the bee playing Beat Saber, but I'm from Texas, yeah, I'm a Texan. Yeah, remember, if you guys like the bedtime stories, just remember to go to the Rolls channel and get the bedtime roll so I don't accidentally keep having to ping everybody, because I find that quite annoying, and a lot of people don't like that. So I do want to stop pinging everybody. I've been considering making an ASMR channel, but, like, I don't know if I'm confident enough to do that. But, yeah. I'm going to read every night now. I'm besties with everybody, hon. Yeah, this is the AV Discord. I just decided to make it more personal, instead of keeping it as AV stuff. But let me see. I think you guys asked me some questions, but I'm trying to go back up and read it all. But yeah, I don't know. Ofiu Kowo, I don't know how to spell your name. But remember, if you wanna continue listening to the bedtime stories, just remember, go to the Rolls channel and press the reaction to get the... What's my favorite type of water? I like normal water. Oh, of course, who doesn't like wholesome things? I just want to cuddle all of you guys and give you sweet hugs and kisses. Oh, just your forehead smacked up against my lips. Oh, beautiful. Oh, would you guys like another kiss from me? Thank you, Chinese puppet. It means a lot to me. Of course they are. So, would you guys like me to continue reading, or would you guys like to continue speaking? Or would you like me to act like I'm embarrassed, just because, you know, I think people think it's cute when I'm embarrassed. Oh, hello, Dripsex. Yo, Dripsex, do you want to join me in VR? I'm in a Friends Plus world, if you want to join. I'm in a quest-friendly world, too. So I can read to you directly in-game. Answer Snapchat. Give me a moment. Can you make the slow-mo down to, like, 3 seconds? Embarrassment? Oh, no. You think I'm cute? That's so adorable. I was also always insecure about myself, but the fact that you think I'm cute, it makes me so happy, but... Oh, I'm all red now. Bingo, bruh. Wholesome, wholesome. Of course I'm wholesome. Oh, all of you guys are so freaking adorable. What is the meaning of life? You are the meaning of life. Without you, why would there be a reason to exist? We were not flirting. She was the one trying to flirt. Bit crazy. Oh, my laugh gets you every single time? Oh, you can't tell if I'm planning to kill all of you? I would love to just have my knife calmly stroking your cheeks. Oh, just up against you with my lips out. Who haven't I flirted with? You want a lick, Oak? Am I drunk? No, I'm just a little bit high. Of course I would stab all of you. I would stab you with my love. I would stab you with my hugs and wholesomeness. I would stab you with the pain of not being able to have me. I would stab you with the pain of not being able to cuddle me. You want me to step on you with my soft legs? I could step on you and pin you down. Do I like jazz? Of course I do. Yo, you're gonna cut my limbs off and stuff me in a body pillow? I'm already your body pillow, hun. I am horny. I won't deny it. I'm kind of rock hard reading all the compliments you guys are showing me, and I'm biting my lips. You guys have made me feel very special and happy. Aren't you guys so adorable? This could become a giant orgy session now, couldn't it? Okay, we'll stop with the horny now. I'm gonna get my drink and we'll continue reading the story, okay? Oh, I didn't forget you were 13. I just thought it was hotter that you're 13. I'm joking. Why would I ever? "911, what's your emergency?" "Oh, somebody's harassing you? I think he's just flirting with you." "You know, so you guys know I work at a bioscience lab, right? Sometimes I pick up the phone and use this voice late at night, and it ends up turning pretty interesting. Hello, this is IAS Bioscience. How may I help you?" "I'm pretty good with the phones, people tell me." "I could be pretty good by being on your phone. Just DM me your number, and we'll see how that goes." Been made my Discord crash. I am trying to seduce everyone. I'm so sorry. But it's the story between me and you. A story about our love, a story about our marriage. So it's okay. It's still a story in that case. Do you want me to whip out my evil laugh? Because I'd love to kill all of you guys. I'd love to kiss you and then stab you, then gouge your voice box out. And then make out with your corpse. I'd love to run a knife down your arms, down your legs and calves, let you drip you out. You're a female? I've never spoken to a girl before. I think you're pretty cute. Do you mind going out with me tomorrow so we can drink coffee? Oh, you want me to whip you a little? Oh, yeah, you like that? You like it when daddy spanks you? Oh, do you like that? You like it when daddy spanks you like that? Oh, yeah? Here's one for your left cheek and one for your right cheek. Oh, you like that? Oh, you want me to cook something for you? Of course I can cook something for you, sweetheart. Yo, Cherry, you're gonna come on your own? There's always my DMs. No, please don't drag me into another VC, Tiny. I'm gonna be very disappointed in you if you do that. My monkey laugh? That's my monkey laugh right there. No, I'm not horny at all, guys. Don't worry. But I will stop now. I'm very uncomfortable that a 14-year-old is claiming they're gonna come to me. Please, never say that again. Please. I'm very uncomfortable. Please never say that again. Never. Just keep it to yourself. Please. Just keep it to yourself. Please. You'd like to borrow my voice? Anytime, sweetheart. Anyway, can somebody type in chat to tell all the people who left VC to come back? I'm about to restart the story. And once again, if you guys want to be my friend or want to continue listening to me having ASMR or bedtime stories, just go to the Rolls channel and get the bedtime roll so I can ping you further. But I do wanted to tell everybody that I love you. And you guys are all adorable little sweethearts. And I'd hug you right now if I could. Mwah. Oh, good night, Gorgon Ramsay. You don't love me back? Oh, my heart is shattered. Shattered more than into 1,000 pieces. 6 feet apart? Oh, the only thing that's going to be 6 feet apart is other people when they're watching us kiss and make out on a park bench out in New York City in Central Park. This is the love you never got as a child? Oh, it's okay. It's the love you'll be getting as an adult when you're in my DMs. Tiny, please don't unmute. I'm going to kick you. Anyway, let's begin the story again now. Yo! 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 I don't ignore you, Ari. You're just annoying. I'm sorry.
I'm so sorry. I didn't mean that. I didn't mean that. I'm so sorry. No, it's just I have so many DMs and I have work and I have lots of things to do that it's just so hard for me to get back to everybody. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I genuinely mean it. I'm sorry.
All right, guys. Can you please say in chat that I'm done being horny and I'm gonna continue reading now. Let me just grab my drink here. The first thing they did there was to make sure your Heil Hitler was working properly. Then you were taught to march straight, roll bandages, and sew up clothes. You were also taken hiking and on other such activities. Wednesday and Saturday were the designated meeting days, from 3 p.m. until 5. Each Wednesday and Saturday, Papa would walk Liesl there and pick her up 2 hours later. They never spoke about it much. They just held hands and listened to their feet, and Papa had a cigarette or two. The only anxiety Papa brought her was the fact that he was constantly leaving. Many evenings he would walk into the living room, which doubled as the Huberman's bedroom, pull the accordion from the old cupboard, and squeeze past in the kitchen to the front door. As he walked up Himmel Street, Mama would open up the window and cry out, "Don't be home too late." Okay, time for my drink. By the way, if anyone wants it, I recorded everything. I'm recording everything, like including the horny and the ASMR. So if you want either or, just DM me when we're done or right now, and I'll go ahead and get back to you with that audio file tomorrow. "Not so loud," he would turn around and call back. "Saukro, lick my ass. I'll speak as loud as I want," she murmured. The echo of her swearing followed him up the street. He never looked back, or at least not until he was sure his wife was gone. On those evenings at the end of the street, accordion case in hand, he would turn around just before Frau Diller's corner shop and see the figure who had replaced his wife in the window. Briefly, his long, ghostly hand would rise before he turned again and walked slowly on. The next time Liesl saw him would be at two in the morning when he dragged her gently from her nightmare. Evenings in the small kitchens were raucous without fail. Rosa Huberman was always talking, and when she was talking, it took the form of Schimpfen. She was constantly arguing and complaining. There was no one to really argue with, but Mama managed it expertly every chance she had. She could argue with the entire world in that kitchen, and almost every evening she did. Once they had eaten, Papa was gone. Liesl and Rosa would usually remain there, and Rosa would do the ironing. Should I read the Communist Manifesto? Yeah. Don't ping me. Send me a DM so I can. So when I open my DMs tomorrow, when I wake up tomorrow, I'll see your DM, and I'll know, okay, this person wants an audio recording of the video, and I'll go ahead and send it to you guys. So just go ahead and send me a DM now if you want the audio recording, okay? Okay. I also have very NSFW recordings if you guys want that one. Although, yeah. Yeah, make sure you subscribe to me by going to Rolls and pressing the reaction there so you can get the bedtime ping notifications. Yeah, the NSFW ones are, you know, lots of male moaning, coming, and stuff like that. I already read that. A few times a week, Liesl would come home from school and walk the streets of Mulking with her mama, picking up and delivering, washing, and ironing from the wealthier parts of town. Knaupstrasse, Heidstrasse, a few others. Mama would deliver the ironing or pick up the washing with a dutiful smile, but as soon as the door was shut and she walked away, she would curse these rich people with all their money and laziness. Too geschinktert to wash their own clothes, she would say, despite her dependence on them. him. She accused Herr Vogel from Heidstreis, made all his money from his father. He throws it away on women and drinks, and washing and ironing, of course. It was like a roll call of scorn. Herr Vogel, Herr and Frau Pfeffelhuber, sorry, Helena Schmidt, and the Weingartners, they were all guilty of something. Apart from his drunkenness and expensive lechery, Ernst Vogel, according to Rosa, was constantly scratching his house, his louse-ridden hair, licking his fingers, and then handing over the money. I should wash it before I come home, was her summation. The Pfeffelhubers scrutinized the results. Not one crease in these shirts, please, Rosa imitated them. Not one wrinkle in this suit. And then they stand there and inspect it all, right in front of me, right under my nose. What a ginsdel, what trash. Helena Schmidt was a rich widow, that old cripple sitting there just wasting away. She's never had to do a day's work in all her life. Rosa's greatest disdain, however, was reserved for 8 grand stress, a large house, high on a hill, in the upper part of Mulking. This one, she'd pointed out to Liesel the first time they went there, is the mayor's house. That crook. His wife sits at home all day, too mean to light a fire. It's always freezing in there. She's crazy. She punctuated the words. Absolutely crazy. At the gate, she motioned to the girl. You go. Liesel was horrified. A giant brown door with a brass knocker stood atop a small flight of steps. What? Mama shoved her. Don't you want me, Xiaomengsh? Move it. Liesel moved it. She walked the long path, climbed the steps, hesitated, and then knocked. A bathrobe answered the door. Inside it, a woman with startled eyes, hair like a fluff, and the posture of defeat stood in front of her. She saw Mama at the gate and handed the girl a bag of washing. Thank you, Liesel said. But there was no reply. Only the door. It closed. You see, said Mama, when she returned to the gate, this is what I have to put up with. These rich bastards, these lazy swines. Holding the washing as they walked away, Liesel looked back. The brass knocker eyed her from the door. When she finished berating the people she worked for, Rosa Huberman would usually move on to her other favorite theme of abuse, her husband. Looking at the bag of washing and the hunched houses, she would talk and talk and talk and talk. If your papa was any good, she informed Liesel every time they walked through Mulking. I wouldn't have to do this, she sniffed with derision. A painter? Why marry that Arschloch? That's what they told me. My family, that is. Their footsteps crunched along the path, and here I am, walking the streets and slaving in my kitchen because that Saukram has never has any work. No real work, anyway. Just that pathetic accordion in those dirt holes every night. Yes, Mama. Is that all you've got to say? Mama's eyes were like pale blue cutouts pasted to her face. They'd walk on, with Liesel carrying the sack. At home, it was washed in a boiler next to the stove, hung up by the fireplace in the living room, and then ironed in the kitchen. The kitchen was where the action was. Did you hear that? Mama asked her nearly every night. The iron was in her fist, heated from the stove. Light was dull all through the house, and Liesel, sitting at the kitchen table, would be staring at the gaps of fire in front of her. What? She'd reply. What is it? That was that Holzapfel. Mama was already out of her seat. That Xiaomish just spat on our door again. It was a tradition for Frau Holzapfel, one of their neighbors, to spit on the Huberman's door every time she walked past. The front door was only meters from the gate, and let's just say that Frau Holzapfel had the distance and the accuracy. The spitting was due to the fact that she and Rosa Huberman were engaged in some kind of decade-long verbal war. No one knew the origin of this hostility. They'd probably forgotten it themselves. Frau Holzapfel was a wiry woman, and quite obviously spiteful. She'd never married, but had 2 sons, a few years older than the Huberman offspring. Both were in the army, and both will make cameo appearances by the time we're finished here, I assure you. Although neither of them spit, but Frau, however, does. In the spiteful stakes, I should also say that Frau Holzapfel... Wait. Give me a second, let me finish. Life is like a lie made by the corporate to get you to buy big food. Now then, back to the action at hand. Oh, you guys want me to spit on you? Angie, you want me to spit on you? Cherry, you want me to spit on you? Spitting right into your mouth. Okay. Back to the task at hand. Back to the task at hand. Lumi, you want me to spit on you? Okay, back to the task at hand. A small and spiteful stakes, I should also say that Frau Holzfeld was thorough with her spitting too. She never neglected to spuck on the door of number 33 and say, Schwein, every each time she walked past. One thing I've noticed about the Germans, they seem very fond of pigs. A small question and its answer. And who do you think was made to clean the spit off the door each night? Yes, you got it. When a woman with an iron fist tells you to get out there and clean spit off the door, you do it, especially when the iron's hot. It was all just part of the routine, really. Each night, Lisa would step outside, wipe the door, and watch the sky. Usually it was like spillage, cold and heavy, slippery and gray, but once in a while some stars had the nerve to rise and float, if only for a few moments. On those nights, she would stay a little longer and wait. Hello, stars. Good evening. Waiting. Waiting and waiting for the voice from the kitchen, or till the stars were dragged down again into the waters of the German sky. That marks the end of chapter 3, and this will now mark the start of chapter 4. The kiss, a childhood decision maker. As with most small towns, Mulking was filled with characters. A handful of them lived on Himmel Street. Frau Holzfeld was only one cast member. The others included the likes of these. Rudy Steiner, the boy next door who was obsessed with the black American athlete Jesse Owens. Frau Diller, the stunk Aryan corner shop owner. Tommy Mueller, a kid whose chronic ear infections had resulted in several operations, a pink river of skin painted across his face, and a tendency to twitch. A man known primarily as Pifificus, whose vulgarity made Rosa Huberman look like a wordsmith and a saint. On the whole, it was a street filled with relatively poor people, despite the apparent rise of Germany's economy under Hitler. Poor sides of town still existed. As mentioned already, the house next door to the Hubermans was rented by a family called Steiner. The Steiners had 6 children. One of them, the infamous Rudy, would soon become Liesl's best friend, and later her partner, and sometime catalyst in crime. She met him on the street. A few days after Liesl's first bath, Mama allowed her out to play with the other kids. On Himmel Street, friendships were made outside, no matter the weather. The children rarely visited each other's homes, for they were small and there was usually very little space in them. Also, they conducted their favorite pastime, like professionals, on the street. Soccer. Teams were all set. Garbage cans were used to mark out the goals. Being the new kid in town, Liesl was immediately shoved between one pair of those cans. Tommy Mueller was finally set free, despite being the most useless soccer player Himmel Street had ever seen. It all went nicely for a while, until the famous moment when Rudy Steiner was appended in the snow by a Tommy Mueller foul of frustration. "What?" Tommy shouted. His face twitched in desperation. "What did I do?" A penalty was awarded by everyone on Rudy's team, and now it was Rudy Steiner against the new kid, Liesl Memminger. He placed the ball on a grubby mound of snow, confident of the usual outcome. After all, Rudy hadn't missed a penalty in 18 shots, even when the opposition made a point of booting Tommy Mueller out of goal. No matter whom they replaced him with, Rudy would score. On this occasion, they tried to force Liesl out. As you might imagine, she protested, and Rudy agreed. "No, no," he smiled. "Let her stay," He was rubbing his hands together. Snow had stopped falling on the filthy street now, and the muddy footprints were gathered between them. Rudy shuffled in, fired the shot, and Liesel dived and somehow deflected it with her elbow. She stood up grinning, but the first thing she saw was a snowball smashing into her face. Half of it was mud. It stung like crazy. "How do you like that?" the boy grinned, and he ran off in pursuit of the ball. "Saukrill," Liesel whispered. The vocabulary of her new home was catching on quite fast. "Taking a quick break here." "Serotonin, I like your name. Speaking of which, I'm going to go take some serotonin pills. SSRIs are very fun to OD on. This book is an amazing book. You're stuck, stepsister? Stepsister. You're stuck? You need some help getting out? I think I can put my fingers up your penis and wait. Step bin? Oh, I'm only fake. I feel like all of you guys want to live your horny desires with me. And keep it safe for work? Oh. Well, guys, if you guys are looking for anything not safe for work, just message me and I'll provide it in private. Well, if they're minors, I obviously won't provide it in private. I will ask for your age, obviously. However, should I start selling NSFW clips? I'm sorry about my German pronunciation. Maybe you could help me, sweetheart. If you could help me, then maybe. And yeah, you probably... You probably are gonna get corona if I spit on you, though. Because I work at a bioscience lab. You want me to say, "Hey, Nilex"? Hey, Nilex. How are you tonight, Nilex? Anything you guys want me to say? Ich lebe die Nationalsozialistische Arbeiterpartei. I'm sorry. Your pussy hurts. Why is that? Why does your pussy hurt? I'm so confused. Say, oh, I won't get a panic attack. Please explain why your pussy hurts. Welcome to Arby's. How can I help you? We have the meat ready for you. I am the Coochie Man. I will bring Coochie to your door. Coochie Eats is available now. www.ubereats.com/coochie. Yeah. Unfortunate. I just wanted to add, Baba Booey, Baba Booey, Baba Booey. Okay, can you guys all tell me something you want me to say? I don't care what it is, but tell me something you'd like me to say. Hello, Ari. Of course, I'd love to send you a Christmas present. DM me your address and I'll send you something. Tea is superior than coffee. Mose, you short little bitch. I'll crush you tonight in bed. I will sleep after this chapter. Aqua, how are you, sweetheart? I gobble glizzies and the glizzies gobble me. I'm Secret Santa and I'm also the gift. Keep it, SFW. Pen, you stupid whore. Hello, Aqua. Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. Okay. Ray wanted me to say, I want to lick your pussy tonight. I want to take you down into bed and spread your soft and thick, beautiful thighs open, tanned beautifully. Rub my hands down your thighs and stroke the area around your crotch and softly kiss it. I want to lick it and just make alphabets. Do you like, I don't know what a Barry B. Benson voice is. Las historias de dormir de Ben son las mejores.
I hope I said that right.
Slytherines are awesome. El muchacho de los ojos tristes. How I am in bed? You can find out by messaging me. I'll send you a picture of my bed. Hello, polecats. How are you, Charlie? Poggers. I don't speak Spanish. I just live in Texas, so I know how to pronounce them. I have finished clapping the cheeks of all the cages of the world. I will now become the greatest hokage. Jake Paul, merch link in bio. Oh, no, not happening. I'm not going to try rapping.
I'm sorry. I'm rolling on the bed.
Are you all simping over an e-girl? Go to horny jail. Ray, you're going to sleep? Oh, I thought maybe me and you could sleep together. I can't believe you're leaving me alone. I'm going to fall asleep in this VC, so we're all going to sleep together. No, Charlie, please don't go. Do I watch anime? Of course I do. Women are very cute. Aqua, go to horny jail. It's every day, bro, with that Disney Channel flow. 5 million subscribers in 6 months. Never done before. I think you should go get the ear piercing or piercing from Claire's. Chicken nuggies. Uh-oh, stinky. Poop, haha, funny poopies. Yes, I did send the labels back. Pogchamp. Poggers. Conodioda. Daddy Tiny, I miss you. Uh-oh. Kenji, I love you. Kenji, I love you. Kenji, I love you so much. Jibun, whoa. God, I love the Code Geass opening. It's such an adorable opening. I love it so much. Oh, you want to hear me be submissive? Yes, Tiny, I want you to ride me. Oh, I want all of you guys to ride me. Your cheeks clapping on top of me. You feel so good wrapping around my dick. Oh. Oh. I love you so much. Welcome to Team Fortress 2. After 9 years in development, finally I'll be worth the wait. Ben, can you say, Daddy, chill. In the jungle, the mighty jungle, the lion sleeps tonight. Pen, shut the fuck up. Stop spam calling Ari. You annoy her when she's trying to sleep. Ara, ara, Aqua-kun. Fly me to the moon and let me play among the stars. Let me see what spring is like on Jupiter and Mars. Kamakura, Kamakura, yes, queen. There's a house in New Orleans they call the Rising Sun. I'm gay. You guys want to hear submissive Ben? Say some dominating things to me and I'll submit to it. Kenji, I love your Jibun Wo. It means... Daddy Wilson is in chat. Nylix, A pee-pee-poo-poo check. Keep General 1 and VC SFW, please. I can't sing. I'm very sorry. I have Tamaki's voice. By the way, guys, I know six languages. I know, I'll list them in the order that I know my languages. I know Urdu, Pashto, Arabic, English. English is my fourth language, yes. Japanese, and then American Sign Language. I can show you guys sign language. If any of you guys know sign language, if you guys look at the stream, I'll go ahead and do some signs for you guys. This is A. This is B. This is C. This is D. This is E. G. H. I. J. K. L. L. M. N. O. P. Q. R. S. T. U. V. W. X. Y. And then Z. This means thank you. This means fuck me harder, daddy. Oh, I'm so sorry. The holy thighs will keep us warm and safe. It will protect us and keep us holy. Daddy Tiny is acceptable. Daddy Bin is vomit. What the fuck? Hey, Jake. I made one phone call. I've got the same house as you. Same cars, too. It's really not that hard. Oh, hey, by the way. Welcome to the top, little brother. Feels good, huh? But let's not forget how you got there. Yeah, elite. Aqua, you want to go on a date? Mm-hmm. Can I learn French for you? I'd love to learn French. Lumi, I only know how to read and write and pronounce Arabic. Not... I'm going to crush you with my bare baby fingers, you little bitch. You're learning French? Je t'aime tellement ta voix. Oh, this is not a voice changer. This is my voice. Nylix, how are you? Je t'aime, mon chéri. Suka bled, yobani rodnao. Of course you can, chéri. I'd love to learn a new language. Comme si va bien, y tu? I'm using the Valve Index VR headset microphone. Zawardo. Flirt with us in different languages? Omae wa totemo kirei desu. Boku wa tsukiatte kudasai, omae no koto. Daisuki yo. Omae wa boku no yume no onna desu. Kanojo ga shitai? Omae wa? Ara ara. Never gonna give you up. Never gonna let you down. Never gonna run around and hurt you. Never gonna make you cry. Never gonna say goodbye. Never gonna tell a lie and hurt you. I was just calling you adorable, and if you wanted to be my girlfriend in Japanese. I don't know how to pronounce that, but I'm gonna try. Yu hua piao piao bei fing yao yao. I'm not gonna bother trying to pronounce that German. Vos avez de grands pipi. I don't know what that means. Nylix, please date me.
I don't think I could ever live without you. Oh, I want to slam all of you into a wall and flush you down a toilet with my cum. Oh, I want your attention so badly. I miss you. You're my adorable little girl. I know you've been so busy with work, and I know I'm such a beta bitch, always asking for your attention. I know you're the one making the money in the home, but please, I love you so much, sweetheart. I want you in my bed. I want you with me. I want you to give me hugs. I want you to give me cuddles. I want you to touch me. Daddy Pierre. Truppen. Yeah, I'm not gonna bother saying that. Any more interesting things I can say? You're gonna have very erotic dreams tonight. Will you perhaps marry me? We've been dating for 2 years. But I think you're the one for me. I want to live the rest of my life with you, sweetheart. You've always been there for me. You've made me feel amazing and happy. Thank you so much. That submissive Ben right there. Daddy Pierre. Zen sucks horse dick and is a cheating whore who emotionally scarred Ari. Oh. Shut the fuck up. Ray is here! Ray! Tell Ray to join the VC! Ray! Please, Ray, join the VC! Ray, join the VC right now! Oh my god, I love you, Ray, so much! Oh my god, Ray, everybody get Ray! Spam ping Ray, tell him Ben needs him in the VC right now! Spam ping Ray! Get him to join the VC. He's a very important friend of mine. I've known him for a while. He's a friend of mine. Ray. Tell me when he's in the VC. Ray. No, not that Ray. Empress Ray. Yeah, Empress Ray. Ray. Join the VC. Oh, I'm so sorry, Ray. Oh my. I love Ray. You guys are going to see me and Ray connect. Ray, are you here? You guys are going to hear Ben go submissive mode in a moment. I want to pin you down and fill you up slowly with hot, sticky cum until your legs start shaking. I need Ray in the VC right now. Oh, you're approaching me? Instead of running away, you're coming right up to me? Ray, did Ray join the VC? Senpai. Empress Ray, join the VC. I'm going to be Hokage one day. Believe it. The amount of pings this man is getting. Is Empress Ray in the VC yet? I feel so bad for him. I feel so bad for him. Oh, y'all, if you got muted or warned, just remember, you can DM me and I'll clear your warnings out for you. I'm a nice owner. The mods here are retarded. Ryan, you're such a shoe licker. How could you?
Shut the fuck up. You don't have to force them. He said he'll get on. Oh, I think he's getting on VR chat instead. Oh. Is that what's going on? Let me check. Are you on VR chat? Empress Ray. Empress Ray. Empress Ray. Empress Ray. Oh, Drip Sex is on VR chat? Hey, Oak, you're in VR. But you're in D&D, so I can't send you an invite. Carrie's on, Jai is on. Oh, all these friends are on. So adorable. But I need my Empress Ray to get on. Oh, you got on? You want one kiss? For Drip Sex. Wait, before you go to sleep, Strawberry Man, please don't go to sleep. I'm gonna call you Strawberry. Please don't go to sleep. I actually want you to... I want you guys to see Ray. I really want you guys to see Ray. Group sex. Oh, shit! Bastard. I'm sorry, Strawberry, for assuming genders. JoJo references? I'm not sure. I'm just waiting for Empress Ray to join. Where is he? Are you online? Where are you, idiot? Is he online? He's not online, though. He's online! Ray? Ray? Ray, he's joining? He's joining, guys. Guys, Ray is joining. 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 Ray's gonna join. I'm so excited. Ray! 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 I missed you. I missed you, Ray. Ray. Oh, you're so adorable. I love you. Oh, my. Oh, you're... I missed you. Oh, Ray. I wanted you to join the voice channel, though, so they can hear your voice. You have an adorable voice. Because you're mine. Yeah, it is. What are you on about? Your voice is perfect. I just want to do so many unwholesome things to you. Oh, what do you mean, no unwholesomeness? You don't want to do anything unwholesome with me? Why not? Give me head pats, Ray. You're so adorable. Boop, 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 boop. You're so cute. I missed you. I missed you. Ah. They're saying we sound the same. I mean, I did steal this voice from you now, didn't I? Nah, it's your fault. Playing horror games together and scaring my ass off while listening to you soothe me down. With that sexy voice of yours. Hey, hey, don't call me out like that. Do you want to play a horror map by any chance? They could all watch me scream like a bitch. Yeah. You want to hear me scream? You don't have to play horror with me to get me to scream now, do you? My bed's always available. The door is right there to the bedroom, isn't it? Dude, me and Ray clicking so well, but it's so unfortunate that we're straight, isn't it? 100%. It's only your fault that I started drinking. Well, I have also stopped drinking. Mm-hmm. Yeah, not today, not tonight. I just downed a couple Zans tonight. That was it. I'm gonna abuse your body while you're doing that. The gay energy in this is always amazing, right? By the way, guys, Ray is black. You can join the VC. They're not speaking, though, but they're just listening and watching. The VC in my server. Oh, okay. There's always the Rift S mic, isn't it? Not in full body today? Not today. Me neither. For work? Your brother has... Is your brother a VR porn star or something? Can I have cuddles? Please. Wholesome cuddles. Pretty please. I've been very good today, Master. The world will be mine one day. You're my world. Ray's so adorable, so adorable. Just want to nuzzle you. Wait, let me just. There we go. Nuzzling Ray. Wait, let me go to the avatar that I usually cuddle you in. Here it is. Oh, now you're a big, big, big avatar. Oh, I can't reach the camera anymore. How unfortunate. There we go. Okay, you want to give me cuddles again? Boop, 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 boop. They're very unwholesome licks now, aren't they? Look at these beautiful boobies of yours. Very unwholesome, aren't it? And you have 40 people watching us. Oh, who says I'm not blushing when I'm around you, Ray? Of course I'm blushing. You make me blush any time. Hello there, sweetheart. So where's Mr. N today? Oh, she's asleep? That's unfortunate. What about Rumi? Is she asleep? Boop, 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 boop. She's probably with Wizard, as always. And how did you figure that out? She's on my friends list, too. But I'm too lazy to open up my friends list, because I have you. You can be my sweet little maid. Isn't that right? Snuggling up with you is so fun. I'm your little cat boy, aren't I? Am I your little cat boy? Aww, why not? Remember, guys, if you want a clip of this or all the audio, and I can send it to you, just send me a DM so I can do that tomorrow morning. Boop. Boop, 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 boop. Let me hug you. adorable you are. Mm-hmm. I love how we're like 500 miles apart and I can still hug you, kiss you, lick you, and also fuck you. But the last time I tried doing that, you ran away. You were like, that's unwholesome. But my God, there's no limits when I'm around and when there's alcohol around. How about the next time I go to Atlanta, I get some alcohol, and we just sit there together in a room and just no limits keep going. Who knows what could happen between us, right? We could forget about any limits or sexuality whenever we have alcohol down, right? Being drunk as shit. Downing a couple Zans, maybe smoking weed while we're at it too. Mm-hmm. Probably a horrible idea. Both of us might end up in ER instead. Considering both of us are very lightweight. Only alcohol. I don't know how lightweight I'd be with weed. I haven't tried it much. Just a couple hits. And through hard carts. I mean, Texas is rising shine on coronavirus cases right now, aren't they? Yeah. That's why I might escape to your place. You can help me cool down. 6 feet? Oh. I mean, my dick is 7 feet long, so that can work. Why are you running away from me, Ray? Is there a problem? Unwholesome. It's not unwholesome at all. Unwholesome? Not at all. It's just the basic process for human reproduction. If we don't do this, how else will we make kids? Oh, don't worry, I can get a pussy for you. Ray, are you okay? Your face is red. You're blushing because of me. Isn't that adorable, Ray? Embarrassment? Come back here, sweetheart. You're so cute. Give me a hug. Mwah. You're so adorable, aren't you? Let's go play some horror maps now, shall we? Okay. Let me find a horror map for us, Ray. And we'll play. Do you want to play the HDS series, Halloween Maps? They're pretty shit. Yeah, you know what, let's... You were right there in the corner of my eye. You scared the living shit out of me. Okay, I'm gonna whip out OBS. And I'll start recording. What? I see.